All right, let's give it up for our Snapchatters. There they are. So we are kicking a message off, a series of messages through the summer called Jesus on Snapchat. And here's how we got there. We were praying. We felt the Holy Spirit directing us to really emphasize Jesus in these summer months. And so we were talking about we're going to take various pictures of Jesus' life, snapshots of Jesus' life. And then someone said, oh, that's like Snapchat. And there are some of you that don't have a clue what Snapchat is. And it's like little stories, like a social media, and it's like little stories of your day, what you're doing. In fact, we've opened up a Snapchat account for the series, and I opened up this week a Snapchat account. I think I possibly Snapchatted this morning, but I'm not sure. But I gave it a good try. I've got to get some lessons, I think. And there's for those of you that know about Snapchat, we have a geo filter which you can Snapchat with, which will help others just to know what we're doing here. And at the end of the day, or the real purpose is that we will be bringing people's attention to Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And so we're gonna take pictures, like if Jesus had a smartphone, or if his disciples had a smartphone and they were taking a picture of him and Snapchatting out a story, we're gonna take various stories. And the story we're looking at today is what people call Jesus' first public miracle, the turning of the water into wine. So you know a little bit about that. It's called Jesus' first public miracle, but it probably wasn't his first public miracle. I would say Jesus being born was his first public miracle. His birth was a miracle. But it's the first time after he's gone through his childhood, and he started to gather his disciples by now. He has at least five of them by the time he's in this story. And it just shows to me a couple of things. This story shows, I think, Jesus' incredible flexibility. I don't think when Jesus got up that morning, he said, okay, today is the day for my first public miracle. I think it came about because Jesus cares about even the smallest issues of our lives. Running out of wine at a party is not probably the biggest thing on the universe's agenda. But it was big on Jesus' agenda that day because it was a need that was there. I think if Jesus was getting up and saying, okay, today's the day for my first big public miracle, how many know Jesus could do some big miracles? Like we read about him. He could raise people from the dead. That'd be a dramatic one to start with. He could open blind eyes. We're going to read about that. He opened deaf ears. He could cleanse lepers. He could do anything. But this is a small issue that we read about in John chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 1. You can open your Bible or open your study guide. And here's how the story goes. On the third day. Now, I'll pause there just to say, God loves to do miracles on the third day. Some of you will get that later on. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. He loves to do miracles on the third day. And today is actually a third day from 3 days ago. So if you need a miracle, you're in the right place at the right time. It happens to be today, the third day. On the third day, there was a wedding of Cana of Galilee. That was to distinguish it from the other Cana, which was on the other side of the Jordan. And the mother of Jesus was there. It was like Mary was there before the wedding was really getting going, possibly because she was a friend of the family or she was on the committee to help get the wedding together. She was there with the wedding people and... this is how weddings were very different in Jesus' day than they are now. There actually was not a ceremony like we have. There were three components to a wedding in Jesus' day. There was the covenant of marriage, or the contract of marriage. That would be where the bride and the groom and the father of the bride and the father of the groom got together, and they said, let's make a contract, let's make a covenant. And they put all of the details into the agreement, including paying the father-in-law off, which I wish we'd get back to. There was payment for the father-in-law, dowry. And when they signed that contract, the couple was 100% legally married, but not consummated the marriage yet. So when all of the contract was fulfilled, usually getting the dowry together was a big issue. And so when that was fulfilled, the groom would then notify the father of the bride and say, hey, I've now fulfilled the contract. The covenant is, everything's set. And the father-in-law would say, great, bring me the money. And literally, the marriage would move from contract to consummation. Do you know what that is? You can ask people later on what that's about. It was the honeymoon night part of the wedding. And listen, this is how it went. The groom and all his buddies and friends would go to the home of the bride, or the father-in-law's house. They would go to his house, the father-in-law's house, and that's where the marriage would be consummated, at the father-in-law's house. Some of you are glad it's not like that today, but that's where it happened. It would be consummated in his house. And then after the contract and the consummation, there was the celebration or the party. And the party was not just like a little evening thing. It went for days. They partied for days of celebration. And that's what we come into in this story. They're in the middle of the celebration or the party. In fact, this Snapchat is literally Jesus at a party. And the second verse tells us that they invited Jesus to the party. They wanted Jesus to be at the party. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. They wanted Jesus there. They said, who could we have? Who will really make this a great, great wedding? Let's have Jesus. People loved Jesus. And they loved Jesus to be part of their celebration. Now, I will point out this. Jesus affected the party more than the party affected Jesus. Think about that for a moment. So if you ever get invited, make sure you are infecting the party more than the party is infecting you, because that's what happened. So Jesus and his friends go there, and Mary's there, and there's a problem that arises, and it arises in the third verse. They ran out of wine. Now that was a huge issue. It was so socially embarrassing. It would be like if you were hosting a wedding maybe today and you invited dear friends and they got to the reception and there was no seat for them. There was no place for them. You had invited them and it would be socially embarrassing to say, I don't know how this happened, but there's not a place for you at the wedding. There's literally no seat for you. And so they ran out of wine and it was a huge issue. And so Mary, who seemed to be part of getting the wedding together, comes to Jesus because she knows that Jesus can do stuff. And she's expecting him to. And she says, Jesus, they've run out of wine. There is no more wine at the party. And then the story unfolds. And I want to just point out some life lessons that help us as we find ourselves in the need of a miracle, if we find ourselves at a transition point in our life, that come from this story. The first thing I want to point out is this, that we need to keep trusting Jesus, keep trusting the Lord, keep our faith strong in him when the answer is delayed or when the answer isn't what we expect. Because when Mary comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, there's a problem, She gets an answer that she wasn't expecting. I would imagine she did not expect this answer. First of all, when Jesus gives the answer, he doesn't even call her mother or mom. He says, woman. Woman? What does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Now, I would not recommend any young people trying this on your mom. If someone's like, it's time to clean up your room, or it's time to do the dishes, or it's time to take the trash out. Don't quote this scripture at that moment and go, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. If you quote this scripture, your hour may come sooner than you expect. Isn't that a strange answer? And it's because, and here's the importance of it. Don't miss the importance of this. This verse shows a shift in the relationship between Mary and Jesus. There's been a shift from Mary, the mother of Jesus, to Mary, the disciple of Jesus. And it's a shift. From Mary and her son to Mary and her Lord, there's been a shift. And it's acknowledged in this verse. I'd ask you, have you made that shift? Not just Jesus, the nice guy, not just Jesus, the ethical teacher, not just Jesus, the one who died on the cross. Has he become your Lord? And Jesus is establishing, hey, it's a whole different kind of relationship. A woman, not mother, you are now a disciple. You're a Mary needed Jesus to be her savior as much as anybody sitting in this room. And that's true. Now, what Mary does after this kind of strange answer is so important. Because sometimes when God doesn't do things the way you expect him to, you can get antsy or anxious. But Mary has an incredible faith-filled response to Jesus' answer. She simply turns to the servants and says, watch this, whatever he says, do it. Was Mary's faith in Jesus shaken? No. Even though the answer was, it's not my time, you're going to have to wait. She still puts her faith in Christ and says, if he will speak a word, a miracle will come. That's exactly what she was saying. If he will speak a word, things will change. Even though he hasn't given me the answer I was expecting, I know that when he speaks, things will change. And that's what you need to hold on to. Some of you have been hurt by a church, maybe even this church. Some of you have been hurt by a pastor, maybe even this pastor. Some of you need a miracle today, and God hasn't given you the answer in the time you expect it. This story says, hold on. When Jesus finally speaks, and he will speak, when he speaks, everything will change. Wait for his word in your life. The second thing from this story is a very important lesson when it comes to the miraculous, and it is that miracles come through the power of partnership. Miracles come through the power of partnership. This is how God works. God is not a master puppeteer. He's not pulling all the strings. And some of you are waiting for God to pull some strings in your life, and actually God is waiting for you to do something. Because miracles come through partnership. The ability of God combined with the response of humanity, or the responsibility, God's ability, our responsibility, is how miracles happen. And here's what happens in the story. Jesus says, okay, there's 6 jars of water. Now, the water jars were there because in Jesus' day, there was ceremonial cleansing. And probably the jars were very empty because there were so many people at the party. We don't know if that's why they ran out of wine, that more people came than they expected. But there were a lot of people there, and the ceremonial water was emptied out because as they came into the party, they would wash themselves. And some of you have been to a party where you wish that happened. They did. And so there's six jars. And Jesus said, okay, I want you to get those jars. Watch this. I want you to get those jars, and I want you to fill them up. Now, Jesus could have said, let those jars be filled with water. And they would have been. He could have said, let those jars be filled with wine. And they would have been. But Jesus wants there to be partnership. This is how all miracles in the Bible take place. God opens the Red Sea, but he asks his people to walk across. God gives them manna on the other side to feed them, but he asks them to put it into their mouth, to gather it and to eat it, which reminds me of a parable I heard Andy Andrews say, that he who wait on mountainside with mouth open for wild turkey to fly in waits long time. God supplies, but he partners. David defeated Goliath, but he had to throw a rock. Jesus died on the cross to take away all your sin, all your shame, but you need to receive him. It's partnership. That's how life rolls. You get the water, you fill it up, and then the miracle took place. We don't know exactly the moment of the miracle, but there was a molecular miracle here. There was a changing of the molecules. And some of you need a miracle that involves the changing of molecules. And Jesus can do that. Cancer, he can change molecules. The water is transformed into wine. And let me tell you this about Jesus, and let me tell you about this miracle from this party. When Jesus gets involved, everything gets better. Or I would say it like this, just because I like to say this. The best with Jesus, the best is yet to come. Glory to God in the highest. The best is yet to come. Tell your neighbor that right now. Just tell him the best. Come on, tell him the best is yet to come. Here's how they reported it. The report of what happened with this wine that Jesus made. They said, this is wonderful stuff. They said to the host, you are very different than most hosts. Usually what a host does is it brings out the best wine at the beginning of the party, and afterwards, when everybody has a lot to drink and they don't really care what's going on, then they bring out the less expensive brands. But you have kept, watch this, you have kept the best for the last. Everyone say best for last. Because when Jesus gets involved, everything, absolutely everything gets better. Whatever you have accomplished in your life, good, bad, or indifferent, when Jesus gets involved and he gets his hand on your life, everything improves. That's what it says. David was a little shepherd boy, and God put his extra on David's ordinary, and he became a giant killer. That's how God works. God wants to put his super on your natural. And here's how it is when you walk with Jesus in your life. It gets, as the good old boy says, gooder and gooder. As you walk with Jesus, the best is yet to come. I have not tasted the wine of heaven yet, but I'm going to tell you, in my life, I absolutely know that the best is yet to come. I'm enjoying this life right now. I am enjoying it to the full. I want the abundant life that Christ promised, but I'm telling you, this is nothing compared to heaven, and the best is yet to come, and I'm not going to miss out on it because I'm trusting in Jesus every step of the way, and I know the best is yet to come. Everything Jesus does is better than anything we could do. He does all things well. This is the best. This is the best stuff. And every time Jesus touched a person, a place, a circumstance, it got better. There are people in this room that are a witness that when Jesus touched your life, it got better. And today, if you will let Jesus touch your life, I promise you, you will walk out better than you walked in, because that's how Jesus rolls. It will get better. And then from the last verse of the story, this story, as all of the miraculous stories of Jesus point out, that Jesus is worth believing in. Verse 11 says, this was the beginning of the signs, this was the beginning of the miracles of Jesus. He did this in Cana of Galilee, and it was to manifest his glory. It was to show the stories of Jesus, the snapshot chats of Jesus, the pictures of Jesus are to show that Jesus was no ordinary man. He was, is, and evermore shall be the divine Son of God. And that's his glory. And this little snapshot into Jesus shows, oh, no, Jesus didn't have all his disciples at this point. He had at least five of them. But they said this, we believe in Jesus. And every time the Holy Spirit brings your attention to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is bringing you to trust Jesus. The Holy Spirit is bringing you to put your faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is saying, you need to believe in Jesus today. And the disciples believed, and you also can believe in him. Jesus hung on the cross so that you could know him. And then he gave the greatest sign of all, the sign that I hang my faith on. Jesus rose from the dead, and it happened to be the third day. And then he came into my life, and he changed the water into wine. Or he changed me into a new creation. And every time he touches our life, he changes things. We had a family with us in our Saturday night gathering, and we've been praying for the family, the Sussman's family. They had a niece who had Brugada, and Brugada is a rare disease, but it caused this young girl to have a cardiac arrest at a very young age, and they're still working on getting her out of the woods. And so they tested the family, and they tested Kelly, they tested his family, and they found family members that had Brugada as well. And they gave them some things they wanted. Every time you get a fever, you got to run to the hospital. You got to really watch this because you could have a cardiac event. They went to one doctor, tested, genetic testing. They went to another doctor, confirmed. We've been praying. We've been praying for a molecular miracle to take place. And I'm just giving you the report because Kelly stood here last night here, right here, and gave the report that they went to the third, the doctor that really knows how to, like he said, those tests must have been wrong because now you're okay. It was a molecular miracle. Yeah, molecular. That's physically what God can do. But the most important miracle in this room is when he does that spiritually. When he changes your life spiritually. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in the sun because I can see the sun. But not only because I can see the sun, I can see what the sun does. I believe in Jesus not only because I read his words and see his Snapchats, but I see what he does. He changes lives that are in this room, and he wants to change lives today. He wants to make your life better than it is. If you'll put your faith, your trust, your confidence in him, your life will get better. The water of your life will turn to the good stuff that Jesus can do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. And so I'm going to pray in a prayer in just a moment to allow the Holy Spirit to do something in this room that only he can do. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to open your hearts to the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. I know that he's here, and he's here right now. I know what he's doing. I know he's knocking on your heart's door. And it doesn't matter how far you've been away from God. In one moment, there can be a change. This is a story that says, in one moment, there can be a change. And in one moment, there can be a change in your life. And as I pray this prayer, it's going to be a prayer that says, Jesus, I want to be in your family. Jesus, I want to walk with you. Jesus, I want you to lead me and guide me. I don't want to just acknowledge you as a good ethical teacher. I want to acknowledge you as the Lord of my life. And while I pray this prayer, if you'd like to be included in this prayer, which I want you to be, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And if you're praying with me and you're meaning it in your heart, I'm going to ask you just to let me know. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. But I want to know what's going on in your life spiritually. And I'm going to ask you to put your hand up high enough for me to see it. And your eyes as well. Lift your eyes so I can acknowledge you. You matter to God and you matter to me. You matter to this church. You matter to the people that are here. And there are people praying for you right now. And how many would say, Scott, when you pray today, I want to be a part of that prayer. I don't want to be far away from God. I want to be in God's family. I want to know that heaven is my home, and I want to walk with Jesus in my life. How many would just say, that's me? Put your hand up high enough, hold it up till I see you, and acknowledge you. Hey, God bless you. Glad you're here today. I acknowledge you and acknowledge you right. Let Jesus do a miracle in your heart in Jesus' name. Put it up high enough. Join these right here. Just right here. God bless. Glad you're here today. Let Jesus do something in your heart today. Today is your day, a change. This is a story of change. We just put your hand up high enough. We didn't see each other. I just want to acknowledge you. God bless you. I'm glad you're here today. You're most welcome. I'm glad you guys are here today, and I bless you guys. And I'm glad you're here. I bless you. Let Jesus do something in your heart today. Not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's not about going through a church service. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Let Jesus do something in your heart today. Let him change. You don't have to stay the same. You're here, but you don't have to go out the same way you walked in. He's the one that changes things spiritually, physically, emotionally. And I acknowledge you in Jesus' name. And if I missed you, just hold it up one more time. We'll pray in just a moment. Don't want to miss anyone. You matter. And thank you so much for bringing your friends. Hey, right here. God bless you. Didn't want to miss you. Thanks for waiting for me. If you bring your friends, thank you so much for bringing your friends so they can hear about Christ and hear about the life-changing power of Christ. And that life-changing power is in this room right now. The Holy Spirit is here right now. Life change is about to take place right now. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. And that's the greatest miracle of all. As we get ready to pray this prayer, we're going to all stand together. I'm going to invite you to stand, to close your eyes, and to open your hearts, everyone, as we prepare to pray. Our prayer team is coming because we're going to pray for people today. And we're going to pray this prayer out loud. And everyone, please, I'll pray 100% will pray this prayer out loud with us. Would you say out loud, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I open my life to Jesus Christ. Come into my heart. Change me. Transform me. I repent of my sins. I turn away from them. And I turn towards you, Lord, to receive your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your mercy. Thank you, God, for never giving up on me. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. And we all say together, Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. That's a great prayer. Come on, let's give him praise. That's a great prayer when people pray that. Now, if you're making a fresh start with God, we want to get this material into your hand, this little booklet. Our prayer team has it. We want to get you baptized as soon as possible. You can sign up for that at the Fresh Start Center. We want you to grow in the Lord. Now, our prayer team is here to pray with you, not only for people that are making a decision for Christ, but for every need in this room. Maybe you need a water to wine miracle. Maybe you know someone that needs a water to wine miracle, a divine intervention. We believe that one prayer, the prayer of faith, can change everything. And so our prayer team is here to pray with you and to pray for you while they're praying and ministering to people, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are flowing right here. There is a communion table at the left-hand side and the right-hand side, and if you would like to receive communion today, you're welcome to fellowship with Jesus and honor Him on this weekend of freedom. Well, thank God for the freedom of this nation, but thank God even more for the freedom that Christ bought for us on the cross, that He set us free. Amen. And you can come and celebrate that. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. You can simply come and receive that. I want to pray a prayer of blessing. After I pray this prayer, there's no other benediction. Come and receive prayer. Come and receive communion. You want to worship with the worship team. You want to go. Go with the grace of God. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. We bless you. We're so thrilled, absolutely thrilled that you're here. And we'd like to get to know you. We'd invite you just to stop by for a few moments, just a few moments. Our VIP room, it's over on your left-hand side at the back. And we got some gifts in there. We just want to acknowledge you, and we're glad that you're here, and we bless you. So I pray this in the name of Jesus, this blessing to rest upon you. I pray that the light of the Lord would shine brightly and you would reflect that light this week. I pray on this weekend of freedom that you would reflect and thank God for the freedom that He has given to you. And I announce and declare that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We sang earlier, darkness is defeated, and someone needs to bring that to the altar today and pray over it, because your darkness needs to be defeated in Jesus' name. Bring it. I just feel that. I pray that the God of hope would fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in God, so that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Give the Lord an ovation. Wonderful to be together. Love you guys. Love being your pastor. Come forward for prayer and communion. Enjoy your weekend.